now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, it's Coop Cooper back on the Cocktail Nation once again for 2014, and what a pleasure it is to be back on the radio with you once again. And another fantastic year lined up for you. We've got some great people that we've hand-picked, ready to go for 2014, and some very interesting music as well. Got some news on my new book, which is on the way. And speaking of books, I did a bit of reading and read a wonderful book by a fellow by the name of Jim Spencer, all about Julie London. We'll bring that to you later on this hour. The Cocktail Nation. Let's kick off now with a new artist that I discovered just recently listening to my favourite radio station here in Sydney called ABC Jazz. I believe it's right across the country, so any of our listeners across various parts of our big brown land can listen to this radio station. This is Nathan Haynes and Lament on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
is the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Nation, David Carbonara and the 23rd Floor from the Madman After Hours CD. Well, this week on the show, joined by J.R. Spencer, Jim Spencer, to talk about a book that he's written all about Julie London. It is the definitive collection of Julie London, there is no doubt about that. In fact, it's named Lady Liberty, the definitive Julie London handbook. He joins me on the line. And, you know, the funny thing about Julie London, Jim, is that we all know her music, but we don't necessarily know a lot about her life.
That's exactly it, Coop. And, you know, what's fascinating, too, is she was such an influential singer in the cool jazz realm. She did over 30 albums. You know, many artists have looked to her for their inspiration and style. Especially, there was a whole in England in the 80s and 90s. You know, like Marnie Wilson recorded "Cry Me a River" and Sade. A lot of those artists looked back to her. And what I find fascinating is, you know, she passed away, and there was like not one book on her, not anything. And wow. I just couldn't believe that. And you know, I had I was fortunate, you know, being a cool jazz pianist and vocalist myself, to have the opportunity to perform with players that had worked with Julie, specifically Al Viola, who was Julie's guitarist on many of the albums, most notably her second album in 56 called Lonely Girl, which was just Julie and guitar, you know, and Al. And then I very briefly met Julie and Bobby Troup in 1995 at their home in Encino, right before she got her stroke, because she Julie came down with a stroke in 95 and deteriorated after that. You know,
was she, what sort of person did the musicians say she was, you know, when they talked about her personally?
Sure, Coop. You know, what was the interesting thing is Julie was kind of, you know, first and foremost, this is what was very interesting about Julie. She came from a very sad upbringing. Her parents were vaudeville performers in Santa Rosa, California, back in, you know, she was born 1920s. And she was born kind of into, you know, a very poor family. She was an only child. So, you know, her really biggest thing she wanted out of life was to have a big family. And what happened is she, you know, even despite the music, I mean, she loved singing. She was, you know, she grew up, you know, Billie Holiday was one of her favorites. And, you know, she always sang. She was absolutely gorgeous. So, you know, obviously, you know, movies picked her up very quickly. And a lot of people don't know she was discovered by Susan Carroll, who was Alan Ladd's wife. Mm-hmm. Discovered her when she was working as an elevator operator back in the day. And anyway, so to go back, though, is, so, you know, her thing was she loved intimate clubs and she loved the recording process, but she was absolutely terrified of performing in large venues, like, you know, and she sold out Vegas. She was, in fact, you know, and this is interesting, in the 50s, she was one of the highest paid you know, women entertainers in on the Vegas circuit.
Really?
And she hated every minute of it. She was terrified of performing, which is kind of so interesting. But what makes Julie so remarkable is that, you know, she, besides, you know, just devoted to her family. And a lot of people don't know she had seven children because there was, you know, she married Jack Webb, had two girls by Jack, and then she divorced Jack and married Bobby Troop and had a daughter and twins. But also there was Bobby's two girls from his first marriage. So she raised, like, the Brady Bunch seven children.
And yet she was still performing through those times. I mean, you know, that's a lot of time off pregnant, isn't it?
Yeah, she was an amazing woman in that she you know, she recorded, she was so prolific. She did, you know, like between 1955 and 1969, she recorded 34 albums. She did over 20 movies, and she was a mother of seven children, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what she was sort of very introverted. So she loved the creative process. She loved entertaining. So one of her favorite things was having jam sessions with, you know, famous jazz artists in her home. And one album she recorded too, which is I wrote about in the book, was in 1960 she recorded an album called Juliet Home. And what was amazing is they didn't even rehearse. The musicians got there, some of the, you know, greatest musicians in jazz, you know, there, you know, Bobby on piano and, you know, Al Viola and Barney Kessel and all the great players. And she just goes, these are my keys, let's go. And she made dinner. She always loved cooking. So she made, like, you know, this big, huge dinner and cherry pie, and they all just kind of hung out. And they started recording, like, at, you know, like midnight, and went into 5 in the morning and cut this album with absolutely no rehearsal. You know, that's what I think is a really great artist, that she had that ability to really find that intimacy in her singing to connect to the songs. And I think that's what people love about Julie, is she sounds like she's singing just to you.
She does.
And there's that deep intimacy.
To go back to her children, there's some degree of sadness in her life because there's quite a few deaths, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, that was part of her persona, which I think was cool jazz persona too. A lot of artists went into that introspective, vulnerable place. Like Chet Baker did this too, you know, and there's a lot of artists that, you know, I mean, she marketed herself as, you know, cry me a river, lonely girl, you know.
And sadness.
What's interesting, yeah, she turned around, and, you know, I think there was those periods where you really hear the joyousness of the spontaneity of the jazz. Like you hear in, you know, at home, you really hear that kind of fun playfulness that you don't get in some of the other albums, you know, which is more introspective and moody and so forth, you know.
Yeah, in your book, you also talk about her television specials, guest appearances, and the emergency TV show. As a kid, growing up in the 70s, I'd never heard of Julie London, but I had seen Julie London. I'd seen her on Emergency. Mm-hmm. I used to watch that thing. Yeah, as a little kid all the time. And it was funny when I got into this music years later and I was like, oh, I remember her. I saw her as an actress before I heard her music.
Right. You know, the thing with Julie, and there's something very interesting about Emergency, which a lot of people didn't know how that all developed, is, you know, her first husband was Jack Webb of Dragnet, you know, fame.
Yeah.
And he was the creator of the television show Emergency, as well as Adam 12, that were very popular shows in the early 70s. But what had happened is Julie had almost a little bit of a nervous breakdown. What was happening is, you know, to keep their lifestyle going, you know, with seven children and their big mansion in Phoenix, which is not far from Michael Jackson's Neverland, by the way.
Okay.
And she, you know, she just had to go back on the circuit. You know, she had to go, you know, back into performances. So she was in Vegas, and she would be away from her family, you know, for like months at a time, performing at Tropicana or Caesars, and she just would break down. It would break her heart to be away from her children, you know, and her family. And so finally what happened is Bobby said, well, you know, this is not good for either of us, and it's, you know, Julie's getting, you know, sick from this. We need to come up with another solution. And so then Jack mentioned, well, I have this idea for this television show, you know, and what a lot of people, and so Julie, you know, became Nurse Dixie on the show. And Bobby Troop, her husband, was, you know, Joe Early, the doctor on the show.
Yeah.
So they were able to work together for, and they were on for 7 seasons. And she's just kind of retired then from the singing. She did do one other piece. She sang My Funny Valentine for a Burt Reynolds movie called Sharky's Machine.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the very last thing she ever sang. And but, you know, that kind of saved her to be with her children. But what a lot of people didn't know is she had a lot of family tragedy because Stacy was killed in a car accident. And then, like, her, you know, like right after she, Bobby passed the year before her, and then she passed away. Then it was like 3 of the children passed away within a short period of time.
Good grief.
So it was like the whole family was kind of plagued by all this, you know, kind of, health issues and things. So, but she, you know, everything revolved. She was the happiest at home. And a lot of people didn't know too. She had like she loved dogs, and she had like 2 or 3 dachshunds, and she also loved fireplaces. And she had 7 fireplaces from France, beautiful, marble and colonial fireplaces brought over into her big house, and you know. That was, and you'll see that on her albums too. You'll see, like, there's a couple of albums where they, the
yeah.
furniture was taken out of the home there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see things. Yeah.
That's incredible. The book covers so many interesting parts, and there is no doubt about this. I mean, you've said it's the definitive Julie London book. Well, it definitely is. We've got the complete discography. We've got the filmography, lots of photo clippings, a chapter on the TV show, also on Vegas magazine news clippings, some rare family photos, and of course your interview with Julie's guitarist Al Viola. Boy, you've done some amazing work on this, and clearly you've covered everything, it seems.
Well, I'd like to also thank to a good friend of mine who was very beneficial in this book, and he was a contributor. His name is Austin Kearney, and he created, which is fantastic too, if you have a chance to look at it, the official Julie London website called julielondon.org.
Right.
And between his collection for 20 years and my research, he was, we kind of helped each other. I helped him expand his website. He kind of helped me with things too, and we kind of like, I go, I'm missing this. Oh yeah, I have it. Oh, I'm missing this link. He's such a sweet guy, and he lives out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah,
and he was very, very helpful because there were things I was trying to track down. One you talked about were the television shows, and the thing is, they're spectacular. Now they finally, her 1966. Julie Show special for CBS is now up in vignettes on YouTube. And if you haven't seen it, it's spectacular. Because she sings as Bobby Troup, as the High Lows performed with her. It's just great, great show. And also on Bootleg, you can probably find it, she went off to Japan with Bobby and recorded a television show for Tokyo in 1964. And that's some of her, her best work too. I mean, she's got Don Bagley on bass and just some really great players. And, it was hard for her to ever really get, she didn't like to be filmed when she performed. So there's not that much footage of her. One thing I would love to tell you about too, though, is there was an album of Julie's that was released only in Italy.
Right.
And I actually went to Italy looking for it and didn't get it. I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's an expensive album.
And has it's basically a compilation album, but it has one song that was new on that, and that was her version of Night and Day, which is absolutely gorgeous. And basically, thanks to Austin being such a generous man, he put up a podcast of that. So on his website, there's all this incredibly rare music and footage of Julie that you can't get anywhere else.
We got to check that out.
And between that and between my photo albums from, things I've collected, over the years. You know, my parents are both in the music industry. So my dad was actually Patsy Cline's guitarist back in the day.
Really?
So my dad, when he was out in L.A. in the 50s and things, actually, knew Julie and Bobby for a little bit. And, you know, I collected, you know, from my dad's collection, you know, photos and, you know, signed albums and things. It kind of started me on that journey back in my teens in the 80s, you know, and that's how I kind of got involved with her, you know. And so, you know, I just, one thing I just never get tired of. I think she's just got such intimacy.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. Jim, thanks so much for your time. Lady Liberty, the definitive Julie London handbook. You can grab it through Amazon. It's probably one of the easiest places to grab it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Coop. It's an honor to be on your show.
Julie London on the Cocktail Nation Must Be Catching.
Must be catching. I got it. You got it. Everybody's got it. Must be catching. Ooh, it's love. Birds in the tree. Man, they got it. Fish in the sea. They got it. Must be catching. Ooh, it's love. No need to worry. It starts with Adam. He looked at Eve. Man, she had him. Must be catching. Ooh, it's love. C'est la vie. Why should you doubt it? You can't live without it. Man, I know you can't live without it. Must be catching. Ooh, it's love. When I was two, I didn't think of it. Since I met you, oh man, I love it. Must be catching. Ooh, it's love. Ooh, it's love. Ah, it's love. Ah, it's love. Thank you.
All I do is dream of you the whole night through. With the dawn, I still go on. Dream of you. You're every thought, you're everything, you're every song I ever sing. Summer, winter, autumn, and spring. Well, there are more than 24 hours a day. Oh, they'd be spent in sweet content, dreaming away. When skies are gray, when skies are blue, morning, noon, night time too. All I do, all day through is dream of you.
Nation for ultraswank.net. All I do is dream of you. Lots of new stuff going on for 2014, and we've got a brand new segment that we're going to be bringing to you each month. We're basically going to be highlighting a particular comedian from the period each month. I've got a great collection. Christopher Bay helped me out on this one as well, added to my collection of wonderful comedians. So we'll put a spotlight on them, play some of their comedy, so it'll be literally direct from the nightclub to you. And one of my favourite nightclub acts is Don Rickles. And boy, oh boy, funny guy on the air and off the air. And here's a funny story that Frank Sinatra told about him. Literally in the early days, they'd only known each other for a little while.
Can I tell a story about what this man did to me once? You may have known or heard about this. It was a true story. This is a long time ago, long before Don got married. I was eating dinner in a restaurant in New York, and I was with some friends, and he came over to the table, and he said, "Frank, do me a favor, will you?" He said, "I'm sitting with a very pretty girl, and I'm trying to make out, you know." And he said, "I told her I know you, and she really doesn't believe me. Would you stop by the table?" I said, "All right." I was just about finished. I was down to the espresso, and finally he went back, and I walked by the table, and I said, "How are you, Don? Nice to see you." He said, "Can't you see I'm eating, Frank? What are you doing?" And I went for the whole thing.
You bought
that. I stood with my mouth open.
He's Chet Baker, and I Fall in Love Too Easy on the Cocktonation.
I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love. too terribly hard for love to ever last. My heart should be well schooled, 'cause I've been fooled in the past, but still I fall in love so easily. I fall in love too fast. I've been fooled in the past, but still I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast.
From the Sydney Penthouse, the Lounge Lothario, Coop Cooper.
Mildred, he's at it again.
Music for your bachelor pad, the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you. coax me a little bit, coax me a little bit, a little, little, little bit. Coax me a little bit, coax me a little bit. If you wanna be kissed, I'll tell you what to say. Here's what you gotta say. Pretty, 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 pretty please. I'm gonna pout a bit till you give out a bit. And you really insist, so tell me, honey lamb, just how sweet I am. Whisper soft and sweet and gentle, cause you know I'm sentimental. I like what you say, so you say what you like. My heart alone will tell me if you rate the love you're waiting for. So coax me a little bit, coax me a little bit, a little, 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 little bit, a little, 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 little bit, a little, 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 little bit, a little, little bit more.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
My dear Maria, I'm here to see you. Won't you please, please open the door? Brought you flowers, been waiting hours, can't stand it anymore. So here's what happened when you were napping. I just went out for a snack. I was feeling famished and then I vanished. But now I'm back.
Now he's back. Had a snack. Now he's back.
My heart is burning for that love of ours, yearning for that sea of stars. Let me so I can prove to you that no one else can love you, girl, the way that I do. Oh, how I miss ya, I wanna kiss ya, and hold you close from dusk until dawn. So let's just make up, and when you wake up, I promise not to be gone. You know I love ya, dream only of ya, so please, please cut me some slack. I went away just a couple of days, but now I'm back. I guess that maybe you're still a little angry with me. But it's getting late and my boys are waiting. Gotta get something to eat. Better go now, hope you know now. I love you, that is a fact. Gotta hurry, but don't you worry, babe, cause I'll be back.
He'll be back. He's back.
Trust me, babe.
He'll be back.
This time I mean it. Look, the guys are waiting in the car. I gotta go.
He'll be back.
Hey,
it's a fact.
You don't have any cash, do you?
Door attack.
You know, just a 20 or something.
It's a fact.
Look, if you don't want to see me, you can slip it under the door.
He'll be back. It's a fact.
Can I get you anything?
He'll be back.
I'll be back.
It's a fact.
You'll see.
He'll be back. It's a fact. He'll be back.
Broadcasting up high from the center of Sydney, Coop Cooper on the Cocktail Nation.
Hawaiian Eye, Hawaiian Eye, Hawaiian Eye. Why?
Nation, Cube Cooper and Warren Barker, Hawaiian Eye. Well, my new book is coming out very, very soon. You might remember a year or so back, I think it was almost 2 years ago, I wrote Cube Cooper's Cocktail Nation, The Interviews. Well, part two is coming your way. It's literally with the publisher at the moment, and it's not too far before it'll be released. Probably, I'm hoping mid-year at this stage. Basically, I just had so many great interviews last year, and despite the fact that I said I'd never do another one, well, with all these great interviews, I thought they just have to be put on the paper to be kept. So that is coming out a little bit later on for 2014. We'll let you know about that when it arrives on my doorstep. Time for a look at the world of swank now. DickyCon is coming up. The Pacific Northwest Polynesian Pop Extravaganza is returning July 11. And you can check out this event at the Red Lion Hotel in Vancouver. The Hukilau, they've got their final show. Can you believe it? After, I think it's been about 13 years of wonderful Hukilau shows. Well, sadly coming to an end. Tiki Kaliki's pulled the plug on that one. These things do take a lot of time, so it's understandable that eventually you might want to pull the plug on it. It's coming up on June 11. Marty Lush for Modernism Week, February 17. This is over at the Purple Room in Palm Springs. Beat Tiki Thursday, August 14 in San Diego. Every Tuesday night, we've got a couple of big bands playing. The Basement Big Band, and alternating with the Sirens Big Band at the Basement. Alika Lyman Group playing May 17 at Tiki Caliente in Palm Springs. And for those who are wonderful lovers, you might like to enjoy Valentine's Day double feature, Ricky Derrick and a screening of Casablanca at the Lakewood Theatre. For these gigs and many, many more, do check out our website, www.cocktonation.net. And of course, if you've got a gig on, let me know about it. Email thecocktonation@gmail.com. It's Jerry Mulligan, Nightlights.
had your days of heartbreak and days when your dreams came true. So waiter, oh waiter, please help me out tonight. This menu is as baffling as anything I've ever seen. And the way he looks across at me with his sardonic gaze makes me feel I'm drifting further out into the choppy waves. Everything looks so frightening. Everything here looks so nice. Oh, waiter. I've had your days of heartbreak and days when your dreams came true.
Donation with Stacey Kenton. Waiter, oh, waiter. Next week, we are beginning our monthly spotlight on the great stand-ups. So stand by for that one. I'll let you know who that is later on in the week. But I'll tell you what, you're going to love this guy. Raw Crayon Review. I'm going to leave you with their great song, Deadly Night Call. Stay up. We'll be right back.
Thank you.